The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, welcome TNT. Welcome back to Mind Matters. Welcome to Mind Matters. And we have our guest today, Ms. Nidhi Kopalani, clinical and counseling psychologist, brain spotter.
Yeah.
Yes. What is a brain spotter?
Brain spotting is actually a body sensory as well as neuroscientific therapy method that really involves how you look affects how you feel. So we use the eyes to channel how we access memory, trauma. And it's really great because you don't have to use as many words, especially for people who don't have the words to talk about it. So I'm certified as well as I'm a consultant in training for that.
All right, so we could get to that as one of the treatments for trauma, but yes. Today we're talking about trauma. It just, brain spotter is such an unusual term, yeah. I had to ask. So today we're talking, like I said, about trauma, and we've been through as a nation some trauma, coming out of election season, coming into a new manifestation of it. And we have, of course, we see a lot of other things happening in TNT, especially with young children in schools, etc., from fighting and all of that. And then with this uptick in car accidents as well. So let's start off explaining what is trauma. I mean, I mentioned some, but from the clinical side, what does it mean?
So I'm going to speak very not as clinical, because that's what I do best. Trauma can be something big, like you said, car accident. We've had earthquakes, you know, it's raining right now, everybody's worried about flood, you know, those sorts of bigger events. When we talk about abuse and neglect that happens in families or even in childhood, you know, that is the big T kind of stuff, but we can say a little T trauma. So for example, trauma could be anything that I perceive has affected me. So it is about my perception. So I could fall off a tree and somebody could be like, well, forget that, it's stupid, you know, whatever, you're done, deal with it, so stop crying like a baby or whatever, if I'm a child. But that can impact the body in such a way that even in adulthood I could have pain in some parts of my body. The body stores trauma. It stores these breaks in our perceived safety. So that is really what trauma is. Trauma is not what I see it is or what you see it is. It's what each individual perceives
it to be.
And
explaining trauma in terms of the brain, how does it show up in our bodies or in our lifestyle? What are the signs?
Right. So a little bit of how it is in the brain. Trauma is not stored often in words. So yes, sometimes I can come and I can say, well, this is what happened, that's what happened. I can make a report to the police and be very chronological, A, B, and C, and this in order. But this is not how trauma is stored. Trauma is stored in fragmented memories in the lower parts of our brain. If we had video, I would have showed you properly. But in the lower parts of our brain, which are really all about those first parts of our brain that are born about even in utero, and even as we're in our younger age, as we're in those early ages, you know, 0 to 5, you know, we don't have our whole brain developed until age 21 to 25. That's great. So trauma is stored in the non-verbal part of our brain, those lower areas where hormones are, where our fight, flight, freeze system is, where it just takes in the information from the environment and really acts upon it. What really happens is our cortex, which is the top part of our brain, the last thing to develop, that's the one that really helps us, good empathy and thinking skills, that develops later on and that dislodges with trauma. So this is why we create awareness in the bottom part of the brain, that instinctual fight, flight, freeze, that instinct to save myself from perceived trauma. So for example, let's say I had a really strict parent, which most trainees have had. You know, a lot of us, you know, anybody over 30 might have come from the days of Lex. So you could have had somebody who was pointing their finger at you as a child, and you know, once mommy, daddy give you that finger, you know you're in trouble. Don't even. And let's say you go to work and your boss comes and does that same finger or says, we need to talk. And that was a trigger that mom or dad used to say, let's talk. And your whole body could have a physiological reaction. Physiological means maybe my heart is racing a little bit, maybe my breathing rate, maybe my thoughts, maybe I have a little blanket in my head that just, what is going on? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, I'm responding to this person saying, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a childhood, maybe traumatic incident or in what we call implicit memory. Implicit stuff is stuff we don't really consciously know.
Mm-hmm.
So those memories get sucked out to the bottom part of our brain and we just respond physiologically. It's not something we can decipher and say, okay, well, I know that. That comes with awareness.
Yeah.
So that's what we say about the brain. It pulls out the implicit memories and pulls it into how we're behaving now. So somebody crossing in front of me while I'm driving and I'm like, oh my gosh, I beat my horn. You're just trying to, you didn't see me. You're trying to attack me. Roll back. This is kind of my stuff. Most of the time, you know, I'm going to put the caveat there that sometimes there's something out there.
Yeah.
But most of the time is how I respond. So how does it show up in the body? Maybe it is my heart racing. Maybe I am fearful of, elevators. You have an elevator here. And I just remember I've known somebody who's afraid of that. Maybe it is, how do I go out even without a mask? We had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
There are still people walking around with
masks. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought crosses your mind, like, what used to be a normal thing has reverted back to, they're crazy or what? Why are you still wearing this mask on your face?
Yeah.
There's no immediate threat. At least we've been, lulled into thinking that that is no longer a threat. Though they will pop up ever so often and say, yeah, it just might be a new version or whatever, you know? Yeah. So, and even that time period was very traumatic for everyone. Nobody was spared trauma during that time. And how do we recover? What are some of the ways in which trauma is treated?
So I'll speak as a clinician, because of course I'm going to always advocate for going to a therapist, because, there's certain methods. And then of course there are things we can do, on your own. So this is something I tell my clients all the time. Your first step is to notice.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, congratulations, you get an A+. If you feel scared that you're not doing anything, you notice what you're doing. So noticing, okay, this is what's happening in my body. This is where I tend to have my shoulders a little stiffer, or my back is starting to feel that pain and soreness, or I am flinching every time I go somewhere, or my anger level raises, my sadness, maybe I shut down a little bit, maybe I see a big truck and oh my gosh, I freeze a bit, I slam the brakes, but I didn't really need to slam the brakes. Right, so noticing what is happening in the body is first step.
And how do you differentiate, all right, if it's not normal, just normal aches and pains of growing old? Those kind of aches and trauma aches. Is there a way that you can tell the difference between the two?
So that comes with a lot of awareness, because, getting old, you have some back pains. You know, how you sit, how you are doing things. But really in noticing what is happening before that event. Am I a little extra stressed? Or what is this stress happening? Is this related to something I experienced in childhood? And again, we have fragmented memories.
Mm-hmm.
So trauma doesn't store as a perfectly, this is what happened, that will happen. So I might not always know. So just continuing to notice is often the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So how we deal with it in therapy is we have different types of therapeutic methods, right? And that's just a big word for saying different ways that we cope with, we help clients through. Because we know that trauma is really stored in bottom of the brain, you need bottom brain-based techniques. So as you're saying, brain spotter. So brain spotting is one of those ways that you can access trauma memories through your eyes. So really and truly, I'm having somebody sit in front of me and I might ask them to share their story, their traumatic incident, whatever it is that they're, and I'll notice that. So even if you try it now and you just say in your head and you're trying to access a memory, my eyes are going there in the upwards direction. And what if I was to stay in that direction? Of course, this is with a therapist, because we know how to hold space is what we call. We know how to regulate our bodies and provide that. We call it neuroception or safety, but really what it is, and I'm providing a safe environment so that one part of you knows that you can go through those difficult places of experiencing or, in a sense, re-experiencing the trauma, but with somebody safe. Because what it does is that when we experience a memory, we don't experience it like it's happening in the past. We experience it like
it's happening now.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is a very scary thing to do. So how do you create those safe spaces for that vulnerability? Because being vulnerable at that point in time, it's a scary thing. How do you deal with that?
That's a therapeutic skill, yes, at school. And being aware of my own body.
Right.
Being aware of when I'm dysregulated and when I'm not. Being aware of what I mean by dysregulated is when my nervous system is acting up, when my body is saying a little bit of heart racing, a little bit of breathing rate maybe lowered or it's, higher, when my thoughts are racing, those sorts of things. So I'm staying with my client on their journey and being able to stay with them, because you can go hard places. Brené Brown talks all about that. You can go and do difficult things when you're supported by somebody who can be there for you. And this is something even close friendships, partners do. They kind of hold space for us and let us talk about our stories as well.
And I guess let's flip it a little bit now. The person who has experienced the trauma, telling someone about that trauma could be traumatic for the person hearing.
Yeah.
How do you, deal with that transition of trauma? Can I say it that way?
Yeah. As a therapist, you have to practice kind of what you do. So I have my own therapist as well for years.
That is so strange to hear. The therapist has a therapist.
Always. Right. I don't believe, if a doctor can't go to a doctor, a therapist can't,
right.
The key to one of these things, I believe, and I've been taught, is working on your own stuff as well. So I have my therapist and we have worked many years on knowing how do I ground myself? How do I go and see about my own self-care? All that good stuff as well.
So speaking to someone is one way of treating trauma. Are there any other methods of treating trauma?
So talk therapy is actually not the best way for trauma. It can reach. So things like CBT, they are purposeful. They reach the top part of our brain, so at top level trauma. But if we're talking about body sensations that still arise, because sometimes I have people who, they've been to trauma therapy and they've talked all about it and they're like, look, I've talked all about it and still in my body, I'm still responding. Mm-hmm. So things like brain spotting is one. We have EMDR. So my company just trained 10 therapists in EMDR in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. So
what does that acronym mean?
EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Big word for a type of therapy that really says that the left brain and the right brain need to connect and talk about things before trauma can be healed. So, we could go into the neuroscience about it, but it really asks somebody to either do left and right movements. Mm-hmm. So something like maybe tapping both shoulders or your knees, or like I got these really cool buzzers that you put one in each hand and it buzzes. But it's not as simple as that. There's a little bit more therapy to it, but connecting the left brain to the right brain so that we know that what is stuck in the non-verbal, what is stuck without language, I don't have the words to say this is what happened, especially if it's in childhood or you ever come out something and like I don't really remember. That stuckness needs to come out into the left brain or in the top part of the brain that has the language. We also have something called Sandry therapy, and that one I'm a specialist in. So it's a big box of sand, and I have tons of figurines. My adults think is all toys. I say that's okay. I love it.
That is too cute. Yeah, go ahead.
So it's kind of like playing, but it's not. With my kids, I play with it, but with the adults, it's different. We use it, and this, even David Grant, who created Brain Spotting, and Jackie Flynn, who did EMDR training just now, said that Santri is one of the most powerful techniques to access that implicit stuck memories in our body, those bodily sensations. Bessel van der Kolk, who talks all about the trauma is stored in the body, he also says Santri is one of the best modalities because we're using images to project what's happening. And then we can make sense of words, of it in words. Then I can say, oh, this is what's happening. It's like I can see it from a different angle. I can see it outside of me. So it's not as triggering. I can do it with much more safety because it's contained in this box of sand.
I guess you can bury it one time. Yeah. Oh, there so is that is the comp.
It's a tactile thing. So I'm actually not just using my brain. I'm using my physical body. So if trauma happens, like you mentioned a car accident earlier, a car accident just doesn't happen in my brain. It happens in my whole body. My whole body gets shoved forward or sideways, whatever. So I need the memories to come out of those that cellular level, that those cells are still in my body. Maybe it's in my back, maybe it's in my stomach, those sorts of things. Maybe I get a little worrying in my stomach every time I have to reach on the highway. We have a lot of people who are afraid of driving on the highway too. Those sorts of things.
And I guess within recent with flying of planes going abroad, a lot of people are afraid to get on planes now.
Yeah,
because of all the different things that are happening. I mean, saying it is one thing, that way you kind of recognize what it looks like without really knowing that you knew what it looked like before. Are there any other ways, especially as it pertains to children and, you know, with the recent state of violence in schools, how do you use these same kind of techniques for children, or are there different ones?
Definitely. I utilize all of them with kids as well as adults, because when we study the neuroscience of the brain, you become an adult by going through a kid. You know, so those parts of the brain still are there. There are other types of therapies, such as something called a somatic experiencing. We move the body. There's art therapy, there's music therapy, there's drama therapy, things that help move the body, create this avenue for trauma to get out of the body. Even things like yoga. My yoga teacher is always very aware of the nervous system, and she's then telling us, you know, okay, so when trauma is stored in the hips and this and that, so you're doing this pose to help release stuckness, stuck energy.
You know, someone, there are a few people out there that would listen to this and say, oh, that is nonsense, energy, just trust in God and everything is going to be all right. Can you, I don't want to say convince them, but give a verbal feel to what you're explaining, because saying that you're moving energy from the hips to it sounds, you know, outerworldly.
Yeah.
What advice you'd have to give to them if they think that way?
So I always tell my clients, you know, it's good to believe in something. It doesn't have to be what I believe in, but some form of connection to a higher God, spirit, universe, whatever it is you believe in, because that also does guide us in terms of how we operate with hope for the future. So God is a very important part of therapy, or whatever you call that higher power. But also God provided things like our bodies, and how do we don't say, okay, well, I'm bleeding out and let me not go to a doctor. Why? Because the doctor is trained in solving medical issues. What we're talking about is a therapist who has just studied not only parts of the body that is in the brain, but also how to remove it. And it's all backed by neuroscience now. We have a lot of science behind this. Medical doctors can even say, okay, we've got, like, I've had clients who went through a number of surgeries and they had pains, and then they'd come and, well, that, they'll do some form of, you know, brain spotting, EMDR, Santri, and then the pain is relieved. So, I mean, I will always give credit to God, because how did we even experience?
Yeah, how did we develop it?
Develop anything?
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, so it's also trust. We trust in the process that this is going to look differently for each and every person, and that the person sitting in front of me is an expert of their own lives, and that they are the ones to guide their own journey, and that I am here as a support now and witness to all that has happened.
And for those types of services, anyone who's listening and yeah, that just might work out for me, how do they access the services that you just talked about?
So first off, there's a Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists that has lists of therapists across the country who work in private sector, as well as, you know, on Find Care TT, I believe. They have a list of places that you can get therapy. But what you'd really want to do is to ask your therapist who is trained in these, specifically trained in trauma and trauma-informed modalities such as EMDR, brain spotting, art, play, sound tree. All these things that really get into that tactile, that whole body healing.
And it's definitely an experience.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for coming in today and giving us another perspective of the mind from the neuroscience, neurotypical. Is that correct? Should I use that
term? Neurotypical is a good word.
Yeah? From that perspective. So TNT, thank you so much for joining us, right?
Thank you very much for having me.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.